Isaac. Isaac, very good, okay. And Isaac was the son of? And did he do anything special? Was he a, you know, small guy in the Bible, a big guy in the Bible? Anyone know anything that Abraham did or any kind of, anything you know about Abraham? Anybody at all? God chose Abraham, and he told him that he was going to become a father of all the father of nations. Excellent. Okay, so he had some a pretty cool heritage, didn't he? All right, that's cool. We have a good heritage too, believe it or not. Okay, and his parents, we were just talking about there, Isaac and Rebecca, they were in love. Remember that yesterday, Pastor was describing it, and they started out right. The Bible says marriage is honorable and all, and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. So they believed God. They, by faith, they trusted God, that he knew what was best. He knew what each of the persons needed. He knew that what Isaac needed in a wife, and also what Rebecca needed in a husband. And the two were created just like all of us have a purpose and a plan, and God created us in a certain way. He knows what's best for us. And these two were brought together, and that was God's will, and it was glorious, okay? And they walked with God as well. You notice there in verse 21, they both had a prayer life. And Isaac entreated the Lord for his wife because she was barren, and the Lord was entreated of him, and Rebekah, his wife, conceived. So that's a blessing. Isaac prayed for his wife to have children. And what did God do? He answered the prayer. But he not only just answered it once, but he answered it twice over. It was a double blessing, wasn't it? It's a blessing to have answered prayer, and I hope that you have answered prayer in your life. So they both had a prayer life. That was Isaac's prayer. But also, Rebecca wasn't just relying on the coattails of her husband either, was she? She was praying too. See that in verse 22. And the children struggled within her. So she had problems herself too. And with the pregnancy, like Pastor was saying, what is going on? That was funny. And she said, if it be so, why am I thus? And she went to inquire of the Lord. Man, if only we would just turn to the Lord for our problems. We tend to pick up of our own ideas. But the Lord knows. And he explained it to her. And he gave her an answer. He answered her prayer as well. And he said, the Lord said unto her, how many of you can say that? Two nations are in thy womb, and two manner of people shall be separated from thy bowels. And one people shall be stronger than the other people, and the elder shall serve the younger. All right, so God talked with both of these people, and he also spoke to them and gave them a glimpse of the future. When God talks about the future, what do we normally call it? It's like a Bible word, you know, for prophecy. Okay, so that's when God talks about the future, and what God says about the future will surely come to pass. Okay, we'll learn that. Sometimes we find it hard to believe that, and we see in God's word, even Isaac, we'll learn that later, he found it hard to believe too. And that's what made Abraham such a great person, because he just believed God. He said, I don't know, you know, I don't have any kids, and that's a lot of stars I see up there, you know, but if you say so, you know, you're God, I'm not. All right. So there was a prayer and a prophecy there. So now let's look at the birth. So we're moving on, and we're just going to read a little more. Where am I? Verse 24, we're going to read through to 26. And when her days to be delivered were fulfilled, behold, there was twins in her womb. And the first came out red all over, like an hairy garment. And they called his name Esau. And after that came his brother out, and his hand took hold on Esau's heel, and his name was called Jacob. And Isaac was 80 years old when she bare them. All right, well, you know, again, Pastor described all this last night. You know, if they spoke English or whatever, Jacob's name would have been Harry, or Esau's name would have been Harry, as Pastor was saying, you know, Harry for Harry. And I don't know what you would have called Jacob. What rhymes with grabber or whatever in English. All right, but in the Hebrew, this is what they sound like, just a play on the words, okay? So we learned that Jacob was a heel grabber. He was a supplanter. Can anyone describe supplanter? Switches things around. Okay, that's what Pastor said last night. You were listening. All right, he switches things around. Deception. When I thought of that, I thought of... there was this guy in one of those Ice Age, wasn't it? And his name was Fast Tony. Wasn't that his name? The turtle dude? He'd sell his grandma if it would benefit him. And he'd try and sell you a gate and all that kind of stuff, you know? This was kind of what Jacob was like, all right? and he was fast and quick, and he was always, you know, if he was nice to you, hey, you know, it was only because he was trying to get something off you, and that was, you know, for his benefit, not for yours, you know. So he was very two-faced like that. And Esau, probably learned about him. He's fairly straightforward. He's just hairy. No, but he had some heart issues that Pastor actually preached about on Sunday night. It was awesome. So, all right, so these guys were opposites, all right? One guy was big and hairy, and the other guy was plain and boring, maybe, you know? I wouldn't think he's that boring, but, you know, he might have had such a charisma, maybe, as Esau. You know, Esau was like the American football quarterback guy, you know, and he had the jersey, and he's like, you know, ish, ish, ish. Yeah, you know, and he's like, psh, see, you know, like the quarterback would be able to throw something, hit some guy in the back of the head or something like that, you know? And so I've written here, I would expect Jacob and Esau to be in their late teens here when we're describing him. In the next verse, it says, the boys grew, and Esau was a cunning hunter and a man of the field, and Jacob was a plain man dwelling in tents. All right? So I would expect them to be in their late teens, and no doubt as brothers do, they would cross each other. I never had a brother, but I had a sister. I might have been worse, but I don't know. They did cross each other a lot. And imagine Esau, as I was just describing there, being the prouder of the two. Daddy preferred him. We're going to see that in the next verse. And he was a highly skilled hunter. He was a sportsman, you know. And he probably had the trophies to prove it. You know, I don't know how they would hang a deer's head on a tent wall kind of thing, you know. Or maybe they're out in the trees. I don't know. But he was probably like, remember that time? Remember that, Kevin? Yeah, you've told me 10 million times already. Yeah, it was so good. I was just there. And I was like, perfect right through, you know. So this is what I imagine Esau to be. And even I would expect him, you know, it says Jacob, on the other hand, was a quieter lad, hanging around mommy a lot, you know, and perhaps Esau taunted him for that. You know what I mean? I'm reading in between the lines here, but I'm just imagining what their home life was like. But Jacob, he had a strength that was very subtle, a way to plan, scheme, and he certainly lives up to his name, doesn't he? As we will learn deeply over this week. And I have a challenge. Would to God that we would live up to our names as children of God and walk worthy of such a title. I thought that was interesting. Turn to 1 Peter 2:9. If you've been to camp before, you've learned this verse. If anyone can quote it, I'll give you 200 points. No, okay. You guys are new. what did I say there? 1 Peter 2:9. This is what God calls us. Johan, would you be able to read out 1 Peter 2:9? Nice and loud.
But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light.
Yeah, amen. So that's what God's label on us if we're Christians. We're a royal priesthood, royal, and they call them blue bloods. A lot of people trace their genealogy just to find out if they were related to a king or a queen. And it's very interesting. But God calls us these things. And you expect a lot of a prince or a princess, wouldn't you? Yeah? I remember telling the teenagers in another lesson, you know, like Prince Harry, do you remember when he was in the papers for doing a lot of inappropriate things? And that was all splashed all over the papers because they expected more of the prince because he was a prince. And God has some expectations of us. And we ought to live up to them. And they ought to not be, you know, a big weight over over us, but something that's empowering, you know, because, you know, I ought to live up to my name and have high standards. So anyway, moving on. They were opposites, and also their parents had a difference of opinion. In verse 28, Isaac loved Esau because he did eat of his venison, but Rebekah loved Jacob. So the first thing that I have written down here, well, this is basically mother-father relationship problems. We've all seen them, okay? If you've been in a family, if you have a mom and dad. And it said, Isaac loved Esau because he did eat of his venison. So I think this is a very poor reason for loving someone, to make that statement. A wrong reason for having a favorite child just because he eats venison too. I don't know. It'd be like, you know, I prefer Marcus because he eats burgers like I do. Or, you know, it's kind of, that's a very profound statement, isn't it? You know, so all right. We can analyze this stuff and we can point the finger. It's easy to point the finger, isn't it? Rebecca did this wrong and Isaac did this wrong. You know, and we see that also in Genesis 1, don't we? Or Genesis, not Genesis 1, Genesis 3, where you know the wife which you gave to be with me is her fault. Eve is like, the serpent, he beguiled me, you know. And the serpent's kind of like, the giraffe, no, you know. But we like to do that. We like to point fingers. It's all your fault, and then it's not my fault, right? So we're not necessarily going to do that in this case. Well, of course, our parents have, the reality of life is our parents have faults as well. But how we deal with them, God looks on how we deal with them, okay? Esau, you know, and we learned on Sunday night that God had reason to hate Jacob. He says in Hebrews 12, Esau have I hated. And when, you know, I remember when we first started studying this, and I was saying to the pastor, what's that about? I mean, that's strong, you know. What, you know, if hatred, God hates someone, that's a big deal. And but God hated him for the decisions that he made and the things he decided to love. And the path he decided to take. And that was like, I thought that was very powerful, like convicting to me. And we want to be pleasing in God's sight, and I don't want him to say that he hates me or he's got disdain in my sight. And I know there's a lot deeper than that, but that's just an interesting thought. So we can point the fingers at parents and things, but when we're pointing, we ought to be looking at ourselves when we notice, when we're judgmental, when we do look at other people. And I try to teach the teenagers about that from our church, just about judging righteous judgment rather than just being critical and straining at a gnat and swallowing a camel or whatever, like the Pharisees. Okay, so let's move on. Where are we now? Verse 29. Jacob sawed pottage, and Esau came from the field, and he was faint. And Esau said to Jacob, feed me, I pray thee, with that same red pottage, for I am faint. Therefore his name was called Edom. And Jacob said, sell me this day thy birthright. And Esau said, behold, I am at the point to die. What profit shall this birthright do to me? And Jacob said, swear to me this day. And he sware unto him, and he sold his birthright unto Jacob. Then Jacob gave Esau bread and pottage of lentils. And he did eat and drink, and rose up, and went his way. Thus Esau despised his birthright. Well, this is a pretty big deal here. I mean, well, the first two verses are pretty obvious from 29. Esau is out hunting in the field. He's been hunting all day. Maybe he's just got so caught up in his hunting that he's just, you ever been so busy that you just ignored meals and things like that? Hopefully not just because you're playing computer games or doing something like that. But I've definitely been that busy. But and eventually he manages to make it home. But he's just absolutely, he feels like he's just going to die or whatever. He is so hungry. And I've written down here, our senses can lie to us. Our senses can be insatiable like hell. Turn to Proverbs 27:20. Later on, this reaction, we're going to learn that he learned this from his dad. Ooh. Proverbs. Laura, have you got that? 27. Oh, I went too far here. Read it nice and loud. 27, verse 20. I know it's not exactly everything that we were saying in this verse, but it has the principle there. Where am I in 20? Hell and destruction are never full, so the eyes of man are never satisfied. So we're always going to be discontented some way in the flesh, okay, in general. That's the statement. So this guy is not really as starving as you think. I mean, he's not going to die in a sense that, you know, we're concerned about, let's say, over in they say, you know, Somalia and these places where these people are starving and they're emaciated, and what they eat in a week, we probably consume in about, you know, 10 minutes. These people are really starving, and that's a truth, but Esau, he's just trusting in the wrong, he's just believing the wrong thing, okay? Your senses, it can easily lie to you. Anyone can do it. And the Bible says not to trust in that, okay? Because that's not truth. So, next step, or the next thing that Esau is guilty of doing, he's guilty of sacrificing the permanent on the altar of the immediate. And what do I mean when I say that? He's giving up for something that's just going to be over in 2 seconds, his birthright. Does anyone know what the birthright it was? Got all the inheritance, okay. Well, he got double, I think, most of it. And he also had responsibilities with that birthright. He was required to look, he was the head of the home, you know, responsible for maybe all the family dealings or the representative of the whole family. And he had to look after his mother and things like that if his dad died. Or when his dad died, that was when the birthright transferred, sorry. And he had to look after his mom. And he also had to look after any unmarried sisters, let's say. At that time, there's no such thing as social welfare. And I do believe that a girl ought to be in the home. And we don't kind of quite do it as they did, but that was a requirement as well, that he was there to support them. And so he had both responsibilities and... I don't have another R for that. And respect for having loads of money. No, okay. All right. So he didn't think very much of this, obviously. And he just threw it down just for... I mean, it wasn't even a nice dinner. Red pottage of lentils. I mean, you know, I remember I taught this to the Sunday school kids, and we call it like chili con carne. But even that's like way too nice. There's red beans in that, and you know, you can have with mashed potato or rice, or you know, it's nice and spicy and stuff. But this one was probably just plain stuff. I mean, I'm not saying Jacob wasn't a good cook. All right, but just for a simple dinner, he gave away all of that stuff that was so unimportant to him, and that's why it says at the end, thus Esau despised, he despised his birthright, and we ought not to be guilty of despising the things of God. Despising is to, you know, to think little worth of. Is God of little worth to us? You know, I think it says in Romans 2:4, despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. And we have that same principle, and Jesus teaches it in Matthew 7, about casting your pearls before swine. And about that, let me ask someone. Maridel. If I was to... Oh, I probably asked you this already, actually, in teens. If I was... to say, I will give you a handful of diamonds in 10 years. Or I'll give you €500 right now in my pocket. Got €500 here on my credit card. All right. Which one would you choose? The diamonds, why? And they're your best friend, aren't they? All right. Isn't that so obvious? I mean, you're like... Yeah, €500 diamond. Don't have to think twice about that. But we actually do that in principle. I read a book, and the author Carrie Schmidt, he described this, and he said he likened it to throwing away your purity with a guy or a girl at 16, 17. That's your €500 right now, but you'll have ruin, you'll have scars, you'll have... even that past, you won't want to talk about it if you ever actually even did get married. Or you can have those pure diamonds of a pure relationship. You did it right, just like Isaac and Rebecca did, and you'll have diamonds untold and just blessings. And there'll be trust in that relationship. It'll be, and it's a beautiful thing because that's the way God designed it. And that's your handful of diamonds. So don't throw it away for, I thought that was a good illustration. Don't throw it away for a cheap thrill. The pleasures of sin for a season, okay? So we're going to learn about that, okay? So Jacob defrauds him. He manipulates him, all right? So Esau, he's doing wrong, but Jacob's doing wrong too, okay? So he's willing to sell his character, or he's willing to be really mean just to get what he wants too, okay? Speaking of manipulation, I have some stories myself. I remember when I was really young and I couldn't count. I was like 3 or 4, and I went down to the shop. My sister brought me down like a good, responsible, older sister. And I had 50p. Does anyone remember the 50p's? It wasn't that long ago. And it's a nice little pentagon or whatever, isn't it? 50p, big thing, and there was a flying stork on it and stuff. And I was like, one monies. So I was in the shop, and I was like, I didn't know what I could get, you know. I was like, can I get this? No, you've only got 50p. Can I get this? You can get more than one of them or whatever, you know. So I was like, oh. And then my sister, she had 2p's and 1p's. And 5p's, and maybe 10p, I don't know. Probably not, right? She was like, she looked at my 50p, and she looked at her money. And then she looked at my 50p. And then she went, You know? And then she was like, John. And I was like, yeah, you know, as innocent as I was, you know. And she's like, I'll give you 2 monies for your 1 monies. And I was like, 2 monies? And she's like, yes. So I was like, okay. Yeah. So she took the 50p and she gave me like a 2p and a 1p. And I was like, oh, 2 monies. And I went up and I was like, what can I get with this? You know? And they like gave me 3 penny sweets. And I was like, okay. You know? And I went away. And then Gina was like, you got a refresher bar and her stinger bar. And she got her packet of potato crisps, you know? And she still had change. And oh man, she was very nice to me, you know? But that was what manipulation is. And I thought that was funny. We have some funny stories or whatever. We just got on so well when we were young. I love her debate story. So that's what, you know, manipulation, that's, you know, brothers fighting, doing things, trying to get the upper hand, you know. If I had a brother, I suppose we'd all have black eyes and all that kind of thing. So Esau didn't care for his birthright. He said that to him, and it was simply a burden to him. So he despised it, and then that revealed the act, that revealed what was in his heart, okay? You know, the Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And by his actions, he revealed that he didn't care a whole lot about the things of God, okay? And I would challenge you to look at yourself and see, do I have the fruit of, do I really care about God? Okay, I'm going to be challenging you again about that later. But so I'll try not to to preach that message right now. But here, if you wanted to kind of apply it present, what time have I got now or whatever? I don't know. If you want to apply it now, it represents for us, it's the inheritance that we're going to get in Christ. Do you know that we're actually going to get something else other than salvation when we leave this world? What are we going to get, Kate? 2 monies? Riches. Okay, yeah. What kind of riches? Crowns. Good, you've been studying. What else? A mansion. Amen. And, Romardo? Precious stones. Gold, silver, and precious stones. Yeah? Maybe to put on the crown, put one here, put one there, you know? Yeah, there's rewards, there's an inheritance. There's something that we can work towards for the things that we do here. And there's loss that we can suffer as well. The Bible talks about the judgment seat of Christ. And as Christians, we can just sell out all those things for anything, you know, like your whatever it is that you want that's not what God wants, that you know is wrong, but you don't care anyway, you know? All right? So I would, like Esau, don't be like Esau, okay? I would be convicted about that, okay? Don't, the pleasures of sin are for a season. Bread of deceit is sweet to man, but afterward his mouth shall be filled with gravel, okay? There's strings attached. Okay, so I have to cover some more. That's one story. Esau's blessing, because we're required to do 25 and 27. So turn to Genesis 27. What kind of time have I got? 10 minutes. Okay, I can do this in 10 minutes. All right. So let's read up verses 1 to 5. And it came to pass that when Isaac was old, Isaac being Jacob's dad, and his eyes were dim, so that he could not see, he called Esau, his eldest son, and said unto him, My son, he said unto him, Behold, here am I. And he said, Behold now, I am old. I know not the day of my death. Now therefore, take, I pray thee, thy weapons, thy quiver, and thy bow, and go out to the field, and take me some venison, and make me savory meat such as I love, and bring it to me, that I may eat, that my soul may bless thee before I die. And Rebekah heard when Isaac spake to Esau his son, and Esau went to the field to hunt for venison and to bring it. All right, so there's a story a few years later, you know. Isaac's getting old, his eyes are dim, he can't see, and he thinks maybe one of these days he's gonna, you know, kick the bucket. He's gonna pass on and to a better place, of course. So he commands. He's thinking about his fatherly duties, he's doing good. He commands him to Esau to go out into the field and get him some venison. He's going to come back, they're going to enjoy that, and then he's going to bless him. Okay, he's going to give him the blessing. But hopefully some of you kept your ears open. And there was a prophecy we heard before. I didn't touch too much on it, but what did it say? Something about an elder and a younger. Yes. Okay. So the elder, who's the elder in this case? Esau. Okay. Right. So if he gets the father's blessing and things of that, who's going to be serving who? Esau's going to be... No, in this case, the younger's going to be serving the elder. Yeah? Because just how it's panning out here. So I have written down, surely he had heard the prophecy a long time ago. He did, didn't he? He was in a great, having a great relationship there with his wife earlier on. And it's probably about 40 years later since... It is about 40 years later since he heard that prophecy. Okay, we can get like that too. You know, God says something and, you know, it doesn't quite just happen straight away. And then maybe we can get discouraged and think that God maybe doesn't have that in store for us. Besides that anyway, on top of that anyway, he was Isaac's favorite. So I think, I don't know what he have gone, I don't think he had the heart to actually go directly against God's word maybe when he was younger. But at this stage, we find that he's backslidden. And we find this from a lot of his actions and find that his marriage isn't as rosy as we first read. So, you know, we read from God's Bible, obviously. You know, Jacob might lie, Esau might do something wrong, whatever, but God does not lie. So when God says something, that will come to pass. How many of you learned your memory verse Galatians 6:7? Who can say that? Nathan? Okay. So if he says whoremongers and adulterers God will judge, what does he mean? Exactly what I said, didn't it? Yeah? It's not messing, okay? So don't think that you'll get away with something. What you sow, that shall you also reap. And we find this here in this case as well. So Rebecca over here is anyway, let's move along. And Rebecca commands Jacob. So verse 6 now. And Rebecca spake unto Jacob her son, saying, Behold, I heard thy father speak unto Esau thy brother, saying, Bring me venison, and make me savory meat that I may eat, and bless thee before the Lord before my death. Now therefore, my son, obey my voice according to that which I command thee. Go now to the flock, and fetch me from thence 2 kids of the goats, and I will make them savory meat for thy father, such as he loveth. And thou shalt bring it to thy father, that he may eat, and that he may bless thee before his death. All right. So Rebecca commands Jacob here, and she commands him to do something bad. That's a good word. All right. That's not right to do, is it? Go against your father's word? But we can see here, she doesn't pray first, does she this time? She comes up, hatches the plan in her head. She's quite I wonder where Jacob got his subtlety from. All right. It's in the genes somewhere. All right, what do I have here? Yeah, so this is a standard thing. The devil will obviously tempt us with something. He's not going to tempt us with something, you know, horrible. Like, you know, come and jump into the fire, you know. It will be good. You know? No. He says something else, doesn't he? He says something half-truth. It's laced in there with poison. Oh, man. So this is Rebecca doing something wrong here, okay? We're going to move along quickly because we don't have much time. And Jacob said to Rebekah, his mother, Behold, Esau, my brother, is an hairy man, and I am a smooth man. My father peradventure will feed me, and I shall seem to him as a deceiver. And I shall bring a curse upon me, and not a blessing. So Jacob, he's not worried, like he's not going, that's really wrong, is he? He says, I'll get caught. So maybe she said something that he thought he wasn't going to cut it. He'd be like, okay, fair enough, you know. So basically, to cut a long story short, he agrees. And the mother says, upon me be thy curse. And it was, as we learn that he gets sent away and he never comes back and she never sees him again. So upon her was the curse. Just like when the Jews said when they crucified Jesus, upon us and our children. All right. Only obey my voice, she said, and fetch me them. So he went and brought them to his mother, verse 14, and his mother made savory meat such as his father loved. And Rebekah took goodly raiment of her eldest son Esau, which were with her in the house, and put them upon Jacob, her younger son. And she put the skins of the kids of the of the goats, the skins of the kids of the goats upon his hands and upon the smooth of his neck, and she gave the savory meat and the bread which she had prepared into the hand of her son Jacob. So, she basically like dresses him up in this Halloween costume or something like that, you know? It's just, imagine like, you know, like he's wearing these clothes, you know, like all these hunter clothes, maybe he's wearing your man's, his brother's quarterback jacket and stuff, you know? And but then she like sticks all this hair on him and stuff, and he's just like, you know, kind of. I'm just imagining in my head, and I was like, this is so ridiculous. What was everyone else doing? Like, did anyone else see him walk around like this? They're kind of like, what's wrong with Jacob today? You know, I don't know. I just think about these things too much, I think. But anyway, let's move along. So and he came unto his father and said, my father. And he said, here am I. Who art thou, my son? And Jacob said unto his father, I am Esau, thy firstborn. I have done according as thou badest me. Arise, I pray thee, sit and eat of my venison, that my soul may bless thee. So a pastor was telling us about this on Sunday night, and he was like, he was imagining as well. And he went in, and he's probably kind of nervous and stuff. And then his dad goes, you know, who is it? And he's like, it's Esau, you know, trying to put on a different voice or whatever, you know, trying to. But it just makes a great image in your head. He's like, it's Esau, you know. I'm your firstborn, you know. It's not Jacob, you know. And his dad's like, wait a second. So he says, and Isaac said unto him, how is it that thou hast found it so quickly, my son? And he said, because the Lord thy God brought it to me. And Isaac said unto Jacob, come near, I pray thee, that I may feel thee, my son. Am I after skipping a bit there? That I might feel thee, my son, whether thou be my very son or not. And Jacob went near unto his father. So he's probably kind of like, you know, these bits were covered here and this, and he's kind of, you know. And his dad's like, oh, you know. And he's like, oh, you know. And what else happens here? That I may feel thee, my son, would thou be my very son. And Jacob went near unto Isaac's father, and he felt him, and he said, the voice is Jacob's voice, but the hands are the hands of Esau. You know, so I have throughout this written here that Isaac is going on his senses. Yeah, remember we learned that our senses lie to us? And at the first, his hearing fails him, because he's like, he sounds like Jacob, but I guess it's Esau, whatever. And then he touches him, and his touch sense fails him as well, because he feels and he's deceived that it's Esau. And so he says, and he discerned him not in verse 23, because his hands were hairy as his brother Esau's hands. So he blessed him. And he said, art thou my very son Esau? And he said, I am. So this is, I think, the third time that he's lied, the second or third. Jacob just went straight out and lied straight away. Man, we should not be that good at lying. All right? I remember first time when I started, when I first started trying to lie to my dad and stuff like that, man, my heart was beating and stuff. And you could tell a mile away that I was, before I even probably said the lie, that I was going to lie, you know? But we lose that. We just burn out our conscience. And that ought not to be. We ought to be simple towards that, which is concerning evil. All right? And the Bible says we ought not to be, you know, good at being crafty. All right? So Jacob consents to lie. I'm probably over the time now here. We've got so much to cover. Hopefully the other preachers will do that. So basically the story continues, and Jacob, he lies to his father, and Isaac, trusting his senses, he's obviously, he's been deceived. And then what happens next? Basically, Jacob is just scarce gone out. He's walked around the corner or whatever, this way, you know, like you see in the plays and stuff, you know, they don't give you any waiting time. Someone goes off stage left and someone comes out stage right, like almost straight away. And it was just so amazingly timed. And you know, I just think about it, like the time it took for Rebecca to make all this stuff, to put it on him, to cook and to send him in. He talked to his dad, you know, his dad's not in a rush, ate the dinner and he's like, yeah, this is good. And you know, he didn't even notice the taste wise that it wasn't Esau's. It was just as good as his wife's cooking. And he eats and he's like, okay, and he blesses him. I better just read the blessing for the sake of hearing from God's word what it says. Therefore, verse 28, God give thee of the dew of heaven and the fatness of the earth and plenty of corn and wine. Let people serve thee and nations bow down to thee. Be Lord over thy brethren, and let thy mother's sons bow down to thee. Cursed be everyone that curseth thee, and blessed be he that blesseth thee. So he gave him his father's blessing. And this is not, it's bigger than his dad, a father's blessing. It comes from God. And we see that because as he goes on, and when Esau comes in, and he's like, you know, he says to his dad, look, I've got you the venison and stuff, you know, going to bless me now. And he's like, who? And then he starts trembling. And he's like, who, where is he that gave me venison to eat and I've blessed him? And yea, he shall be blessed. He will be blessed. He shall be blessed. He shall be blessed. Because he can't undo it. It wasn't some power that comes from him. It came from God above, and it came through his forefathers as well. And none of them had that blessing except it came from God too. So he trembled. And Esau, it says in verse 34, Esau heard the words of his father. He cried with a bitter and exceeding cry, and said unto his father, bless me, even me also, O my father. And he was just in bits. You ought to download if you want to. Pastor's message of this on Sunday, it was on Esau's bitterness. So Esau is just deceived, and just being conned or deceived by both his mother and his brother. And even in his eyes, I guess his father has failed him as well by blessing the other, blessing his brother. So he comforts himself. Let's go here. He comforts himself in verse 41. It says, Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing wherewith his father had blessed him. And Esau said in his heart, the days of mourning for my father are at hand. Then will I slay my brother. So Esau is just bitter, and he's churning over in his mind. And he's basically comforting himself. He's saying, yeah, I'll kill him, I'll kill him. And when my dad dies, I'll kill him. And then I'll get the bird right then. And then I'll have everything, and I'll undo all this prophecy that's been pronounced against me. So, and then in the end, as I said earlier, Rebecca finds this out, and she doesn't want Jacob to be killed. So she goes to Isaac and convinces Isaac to send him away up to Haran to find a wife for himself. And thus, when he's gone, Esau won't be able to get at him. Because if you look at a map, I mean, if Israel is this big, Haran is up here, and you're down in Shechem somewhere, that's a long distance on a map. He's far away, so it's not going to, like, you know, run over in a day or two and kill him and come back and go, I was nowhere, you know. All right, so just to wrap a lot of things up, Jacob's hope was a lot like ours. Despite other people's faults, these were some of the points I gave you, and sins against us, God requires us to walk before him with a perfect heart and to trust him. It says that he'll work all things together for good, no matter how, you know, how bad situations seem to get and how destroyed maybe some of our plans and goals might have been, and even honorable ones. God says he'll work everything together for good. And the third point then, we will never succeed in making things or forcing things to work out for ourselves. We're forcing our hand. Rebecca tried to force it. She ended up losing her son forever. And she was just trying to keep him. Esau, he lost his blessing from the decisions he made by sacrificing, as I said, the immediate on the altar of the permanent. Oh, it's sacrificing the permanent on the altar of the immediate, is that what I said? he'll try to force things now by, I guess it goes beyond the chapter, by killing Jacob, but Jacob ends up going away. Isaac tried to force the fact that he preferred Esau to get the blessing, and that didn't happen either. So we'll never be able to do that. And Jesus says we can't make ourselves grow a little bit taller. I remember I spent every night stretching on my bed, trying to get taller, you know, just stretch out my spine when I was young, because I was like this high and my sister was up here. And I was kind of, you know, I'm going to be a dwarf forever. So can't force it. So the Bible says, without me, you can do nothing, says in John 15. Okay? And just turn to Psalm 72 when we're done then. Only what God does in your life will truly stand the test of time. Josh, you've got Psalm 72 there. Read it out loud and we'll pray and we'll be done. Psalm 72, 18.
Blessed be the Lord God, the God of Israel, who only does wondrous things.
So God only does wondrous things. We do a lot of mess, but God only does wondrous things. So trust in him, and he'll work everything out in your life the way he believes it should be worked out. All right? So I'm just going to pray and thanks, Lord. Father, thank you, Lord, for this time this morning. I'm sorry that I didn't have more time, Lord, to spend. There was so much more, Lord. Your word is so rich. And there's so many truths, Lord. We could talk about it for hours, Lord. But I just pray that you'd bless this time and just use it to our spiritual benefit, Lord. And I pray that it would help us draw closer to you and just get more out of the preaching later today and during the week. And I just thank you, Lord, for your word, just how practical it is, just how down to earth, just how near to home it is, Father. And I just pray, Lord, that we would just hold it up high, Lord, and have respect unto it, Lord, and also obey it, Lord, because that's what you require of us, Lord. So I pray for these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Brother David, have we got something going on? He's gone.